definitely been a blessing hearing about who the Holy Spirit is, hearing about the work that he is doing in each of our lives, and how he desires to truly work in and through us. Something to consider. You know, there's a reality, and it might be a harsh reality for many of us, but the reality is this, is that there are many competing forces against this work, against the very work that God desires to do in your life. Think about it. During the week, or even right now at this very moment, what's popping into your mind? What is taking place in our lives that can steer our thoughts or steer our minds away from the work that God desires to do in us? There are things that undoubtedly can cause fear in our hearts. There are things that can cause doubt, cause stress, even hopelessness. There is a myriad of things that can cloud our minds, whether it be things or people or situations. These circumstances drive our hearts and minds to focus on something other than God. And it's these things that get our hearts and our minds off of what God's Spirit desires to do in our lives, against what the Holy Spirit truly wants to do. And so, as believers, we need to be reminded that we need to be instructed by the Spirit. It's to be constant. We know that the Holy Spirit is given with purpose and with intent. Now, I think it's only right that we just recap a little bit about what we've learned this week. Some of you may have been with us every single night. Some of you may have just been joining us for tonight. So I just want to give a quick recap, because I think it's all pertinent, because it all, as Modesta said, it all ties in to tonight and what the Lord is doing. On the first night, Nick shared about how the Holy Spirit is given to us. He shared about some of the characteristics of the Holy Spirit, how the Spirit, he is distinct, how the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, how he is co-equal with God the Father and with God the Son, how he has emotion, he has intellect, he has a will, how the Holy Spirit comforts, he teaches us. And I love this. The Holy Spirit indwells every single one of us as believers. He is with us. He is present with us every single minute, every second of our day. And the Holy Spirit also, he makes intercession for each and every single one of us. But the Spirit has also come alongside us to help us, to strengthen us, to be with us, to enable us. And it's all because of God's grace. Three of the takeaways from Nick's message were that he is with us, he is in us, and he is upon us. And so may we not take for granted how the Holy Spirit has been given to us. The second night, Tim shared about being baptized by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." You see, as believers, we've been baptized by his Spirit. His Holy Spirit has come upon his people, and he empowers us. On night 3, Daniel shared a little bit about living with the Holy Spirit. He talked about how to listen to the Holy Spirit. That's so practical, right? How to listen to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit lives with us. So why would we not want to listen to the Holy Spirit? But also he talked about how we need to be trusting in the Holy Spirit, how we need to be walking in the freedom of his Spirit, recognizing who we are in Jesus Christ, that we're no longer bound by sin and we're free to do his good and perfect will. And when we do that, there is joy in our hearts as we're living with the Holy Spirit, being empowered by him. Last night, we were discussing, Chris shared with us about blaspheming and grieving the Holy Spirit. Two very heavy topics, right? But there was so much practical application just through what Chris shared for us last night. You know, we talked about blaspheming the Holy Spirit. You know, it makes you realize how many people in this world truly are blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and it's a sad reality. And it's something that we need to be mindful of because we all have non-believers in our life. And, you know, Chris reminded us just the importance of how we're to have the heart of God, how we're to see people through his eyes, right? To love on them and pray for them. We also talked about grieving the Holy Spirit. Such a practical subtopic to go with what he said. You know, talking about grieving the Holy Spirit, I think that provides a perfect segue into tonight's topic, because we all have a choice whether or not to accept the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives. You know, when we know the will of God, but we don't follow it, well, then we're resisting. We're resisting the work of his Spirit in our lives. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Do not quench the Spirit." And so when we desire to only follow our own way, what happens? It grieves him. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God." Tonight, the topic I've been given is to be instructed by the Holy Spirit. And perhaps you've asked yourself this question: how can I be instructed by the Holy Spirit? Well, what does it mean to be instructed by the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what we're going to discuss tonight. What it means to be instructed. That word instructed, it means to be trained. It means to be coached, to be taught, to be commanded, and even to be told. And that's what God's Spirit does in each of our lives. Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he told his disciples that he would send one who would teach and guide all those who believe in him. In John 14:26, it says that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to you remembrance all that I have said to you. And then in John 16:7, it tells us about the work of the Holy Spirit, how a helper will come to us and how the helper will convict and how the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. Luke 12:12 says, "For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." If you're here tonight and you're a believer, then this promise is fulfilled. When you believe on Christ, the Holy Spirit immediately becomes a permanent part of your life as he indwells your life. Romans 8:14 says, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God." Ephesians 1:13-14 says, "In him," Paul writes this, "in him also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit." So what does it mean to be instructed by the Holy Spirit? How do we recognize the Spirit's guidance in our lives? How do we discern his thoughts? How do we discern our own thoughts against his leading? After all, we know that the Holy Spirit doesn't audibly speak from heaven and says, telling you to, hey, you know, you need to do this. You need to take this step, turn right, turn left, go straight. No, we don't hear that. So let's look at what the Holy Spirit says to us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 6 through 16. Paul writes, "Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and a hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting the spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him. And he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. Let's look at verse 16. It says, "For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." I encourage you to go back and just read through that passage. There is so much there as Paul talks about just the imparting of the Holy Spirit and the wisdom that he gives. How amazing is it that God imparts his wisdom to us, to his children of God? We know that the Spirit guides us through our own consciences. In Romans 9:1, Paul writes, "My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit." Here's something for us to consider. I know it's so easy for all of us to just walk and to be instructed by the Holy Spirit, right? Every day. It's easy, right? Raise your hand if you think it's easy. I thought that would be the response. I don't see a lot of hands going up. How do we recognize the Spirit's guidance in our lives? How do we discern his leading? Well, the key is right here. It's the Word of God. It's his Word. We're to be familiar with his Word. The Bible is our ultimate source of wisdom about how we should live. In fact, 2 Timothy 3:16, we're reminded that all scripture is what? It's breathed out by God, and it is profitable for teaching. His Spirit, through his Word, teaches us. It teaches us. He reproofs us for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Complete for every good work. That's what God's Word is for. That's the purpose. There's our instruction. That's our training. And that's how we are taught in this life as we search the scriptures. And so my question for you tonight is, are we searching the scriptures? Are we meditating? Are we seeking out his truth? Are we committing his Word to memory? There's so many resources that we have here at this church to help us to do that. I think of the discipleship courses. I think of the men's and women's Bible fellowships. I think of the multiple Bible studies that are held throughout the week. But this is something that we have to be proactive and make a daily decision, a choice in our own lives to do, is to commit to his Word. Well, here's the next point is, what does a person instructed by the Holy Spirit look like? What are some of those characteristics? Well, there's several examples all throughout Scripture, probably hundreds of examples. I'm just going to share a couple with you tonight. One I found in the Old Testament, and I thought about Caleb. I thought about how him and Joshua in the Old Testament, you know, when God told the Israelites to go out and to possess the land of Canaan. The people needed a place to thrive as a nation, and God chose an exceptionally good land for them. And so at the Lord's direction, Moses sent 12 men to survey and spy out the area. But what a surprise it was when 10 of the men, when they returned with unfavorable, alarming stories. Well, most of them, they could only see the obstacles, right? They saw the circumstances. They saw the giants in the land. But Caleb and Joshua, their outlook, their perspective was much different. It's because they were grounded. They stood upon God's word. They did not focus on the obstacles. You see, the obstacles are what distorts our vision. It clouds our minds. Sometimes the problems become so large that we can't see what that next step is. And so we fail to walk by faith. And it's because we're walking by sight, right? But if God has called us to do something, the reality is that we need to understand that he already has a plan. God has a purpose. If he's calling you to something, then it's for you to step out in faith and walk, to walk and trust what the Lord is calling you to according to his purpose. Yeah, it may not be easy. It may not be simple, but God will strengthen you. Also, in the New Testament, there are many examples. And first, I just thought about Jesus. I thought about his life. I thought about his example. We're reminded of that in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus faced temptation, when he was led into the wilderness. And for sake of time, I'm not going to go read those verses, but when we see the temptation of Jesus, we see what? We see the example of Jesus. Verse 1 says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There's other examples of Jesus being led by the Spirit. If you look into the book of Acts, we see another example, and it's actually Apollos. Acts 18:25, it says that he had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of God. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord. It's because he was active in the scripture. In Revelation, we've been studying the book of Revelation here on Sunday mornings. Revelation 1, verses 9 through 11, we are reminded of, or something that stuck out to me was, you know, when John was given the vision of the Son of Man, something that stood out to me was this, and it's in verse 10. John writes that I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Where was he when he was given the Son, when he was given the vision of the Son of Man? He was in the Spirit. God spoke to him. God revealed himself to him when he was in the Spirit. He was being led. He was being instructed by the Holy Spirit. So what's the practical application for being instructed by the Holy Spirit? One, we must yield to the Holy Spirit. To yield, it means to give something up or to give way to a demand of some sort. A person who is yielded to the Holy Spirit will comply to the Spirit's will and submit to his authority. We've all heard the term walking in the Spirit. That means that we're following his lead, that we're living in cooperation with his plan. We've all heard being filled with the Holy Spirit. That means we're to be fully surrendered to him and functioning in his power and freedom. Both walking in and being filled with the Spirit necessitates yielding to his control. To be instructed by the Holy Spirit, we must have the mind of the Spirit. Ephesians 4:23 says that we're to be renewed by the Spirit of your minds. Remember, we are new creations in Jesus Christ. We must be renewed by the indwelling of the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And in Romans 12, verse 2, Paul urges believers to not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God and what is good and acceptable. And my time is over. Sorry, turn that off. I'm almost done. These are all practical realities that we must deal with. And one of the most, I think, common realities that we face day to day is spiritual warfare. Is anyone here dealing with spiritual warfare today, this week, this year? I think all of us are in some sense. But as we're being instructed by the Holy Spirit, we arm ourselves accordingly, and we're ready to fight the battles that God has already won. I'm not going to read it to you, but go and read Ephesians chapter 6 if you haven't yet this week. Read verses 10 to 20. And that's the reality. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against things that are unseen. But we have the Holy Spirit. Remember, he's come alongside us. And he is strengthening us. He is enabling us. And these are such great reminders for us. Just the fact that, yes, we are engaged in a war. It's a constant battle. The Christian life, it's not easy. It's a battle. It's a war, because there's a war going on that we can't really see. It's an invisible war, and it's the war against the powers that are coming against what the Spirit of God desires to do in each of our lives. And so be reminded of this. We have victory. Our victory is in Christ Jesus. And so I'm reminded of the song that Pastor Rawl opened up with last night. It's, Lord, I come, I confess. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour, I need you. He's my one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. When temptation comes my way and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. So it's time to bring everything that we've heard about and learned about the Holy Spirit this week. Now, tonight, it's time for us to take action. It's time for us to apply his word into our lives. Because if we don't apply what we learn about God, then it's all for naught. We need to learn to apply his word in our lives, living out what we take in. And that, my friend, is the proof of what being instructed by the Holy Spirit is. The proof is in our actions. It's in our lives, right? And so I want to conclude with this verse here. It was shared by Modesto last night, but I think it sums up perfectly how we're to be instructed by his Spirit. I'm going to ask Modesto and Stephen to come up while I read this verse. In Colossians 3:16 through 17, the Apostle Paul writes this. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This, what we just read, that is a person who is truly being instructed by the Holy Spirit. May the word of Christ dwell in each of you richly. May his Holy Spirit teach you and admonish you, guide you, build you up in his wisdom. I'll be the first to admit, I'm not always one who is being instructed by the Lord. I fall far short. Every day I fall short. And it's only by his grace that I stand up here, because what I've read this week truly has convicted my heart. And I see that I need to be led and instructed by his Holy Spirit in every aspect of my life. You know, it's so easy to go through our day. You could be working and just have a bad attitude, have a negative attitude, always seeing the the what if, right? And making things bigger than what they really, whatever will be. That's me. And the Lord is really stretching me right now. I'm working with a new organization, and it's not perfect. I knew it wouldn't be perfect. But God is stretching me. I need to walk in Him. I need to have a perspective of having my eyes and my heart and my mind fixed on Him and not on my circumstances, not on people, not on situations, not on any external thing going on in my life. I can't be moved by that. I'm guilty of that. But I'm thankful that God has given us grace. And as we were reminded this week, that God has given us His Holy Spirit. It's been given to us freely. And from what I can see out there, everybody that I see here, from what I know, you're a believer. You come to church and you put your faith in Jesus Christ. You're walking with Him. You have a desire to grow in Him and to learn about Him. You're seeking Him. But I know there's others that are like me because we're fallen. We have to deal with the flesh. So I'm the first to raise my hand and say, I need to be instructed by the Lord. If you want to be instructed by the Lord, we just want to invite you to come up and pray with us. Let's pray together. Let's pray for God's Spirit to empower us, that He would help us to see who He is and how He desires to work in each of our lives. Amen.
One thing, Jake, you went over in second or 1 Corinthians 2, and I love this. And a lot of times I get people that come up and ask me, you know, I want to do more for the Lord. I want to experience Him more. I want to serve more. And they ask me that, what do I need to do? What do you think I should do? And I love here what it says. It says, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches even the depths of God. Man, do you want your mind blown? Do you want to be amazed at what's going on around you? At what you have a part in? I mean, we sit back and talk with Pastor when we meet, and there are times where it's like, wow, that happened. Our minds are blown, and it is amazing, and it brings us such strength and power and joy of seeing the Holy Spirit do that. And that's what we want for you guys, for your lives, that you would sit back and just be amazed at what's going on in this church and with this church, and the joy in your heart and the smiles on your face. Oh, there's nothing else like it, right? The Holy Spirit brings that to us, searches the depths of even God. And He's prepared those things for us. And that's amazing. So we're going to pray that over us tonight, that the Holy Spirit, which has great things in store for us and ready for us, that He would unleash that upon us and we would be ready for it. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, Lord, and our desire is that Your Spirit, Lord, which we know is here, Father, that Spirit would be laid upon us tonight, Father. That the instruction that He has for us, Lord, everyone is different, Lord God. Everyone has a different plan. You have a different plan for everyone. You have a different purpose for everyone, Lord, and a position for everyone. Yet it's all to glorify You, Father. And Lord, we know that You desire to just blow our minds, Father, with what You have for us, Father. Lord, we're tired of living lives, Lord, of our own, Father. We're tired of walking our own path, of the trouble that we get ourselves into, Father, the things that we do that we know we ought not to do, Lord. Lord, we search, for your Holy Spirit to come and be laid upon us, to instruct us on the things that we ought to do, Father. So I pray tonight that every man and woman standing here, every child standing here tonight, Lord, would have the Holy Spirit come upon them to instruct them. And from this day forth, Father, we would live lives new, Father, transformed, renewed, Father God, by the power of your Spirit, Lord. Oh, Lord, you would set this church on fire, Lord, with the power of your Spirit, Lord God. Lord, that there would be nowhere we could not go. There would be nothing that we cannot do, Father. No depth too deep, no height too high, Father God, because we're empowered by your Holy Spirit. And so bless my brothers and sisters. Bless us, Lord, as a church, Father God, and blow our minds, Father, as we have the weeks and months and years ahead of us. We pray these things by the power of your Spirit. Amen.
All right, so Jake took up most of the night with that, so we're going to cut it short. Love you, Jake. It was well worth it. So let's go ahead and break up into some circles, utilize the back tables, couple groups back there, and we're going to go for about 15 minutes, and then we'll break it up once again.